Hey, Grody, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, Grody?
Baby T is what's up.
I need the third person thing. That made me uncomfortable. Can I be honest, Tyler? The third person made me uncomfortable. This is not that show. You don't have to do that.
I don't like it either. I think I made mention of that while it was going on.
Lawrence, it was all Speak's idea.
No, we're aware. I'm totally.
Oh, we're aware.
I'm totally fine with you just being you. Because yes. I just kind of like you. You don't need to play a character on the radio.
I asked him if it was okay that I called him Tyler on the air.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and he said, call me whatever you're. No, that's not what I asked. What would you like, to be called?
Yes, what would you prefer to be called?
On the show that I do, we have a bar of minimum level of respect that we pay all the people we work with. So we have to go ahead and establish that with people who may not understand that that should be the standard for everyone.
So that said, should we thank the people that have helped make this show great today?
Such as Mark Grody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Marshall Harris. I think we came out of it okay. I'm not bleeding.
Can we do it tomorrow?
We could do it again tomorrow. Not Friday, though. Not Friday. You know what? I need you to take the day
like
off
Magic
Friday.
I'm like Magic Johnson. I ain't going to be here.
Dan Weider will be here on Friday, so we'll be doing...
They will take the North.
Our own little version of Take the North for 4 hours right here on The Score. But yes, thank you to you. Baby T, right? You're good with Baby T.
Baby T is okay.
I'm good,
right?
Baby T.
Yes. Okay. And that is a Gabe Ramirez given, yes. Correct? Like we always need to remember it is Gabe Ramirez who gave you the nickname. So thank you, Tyler Farengol, Baby T, for doing what you do, stepping in today with Ray Diaz out. Robbie Triano running the whole show today, executively producing the show. Great job by you, Robbie. Connor O'Donnell doing our videos and our twitching. We thank our guest. Ian Happ did come on the show a little bit later, but we did have Ian Happ on, and we thank him for that. Mike Florio was on with us today. He was great. And we also had the Shark. Caitlin Sharkey was on the show with us as well, talking some Bears. And as you heard, it is Spiegel and Holmes time today. Lawrence is here, and so is Russ Dorsey. Gym class is in session, ladies and gentlemen, based on some of the things that I heard you guys talking about yesterday, including gout for 4 hours, which made me laugh out loud.
Yes.
I then sent Marshall a gout video this morning.
Oh, really?
Featuring Anthony Anderson.
Oh, is Anthony Anderson got it pretty
bad?
He's got
the gout.
And the diabetes.
So here's the thing. Do you have a diagnosis now?
Yes, but no. I have an appointment, telehealth, at 3:20. We'll have prognosis, diagnosis, all the things. Like the MRI results are back, but to me, they didn't seem like...
Wait, what did they say?
It's just a combination of a lot of things. It would take too long for me to dial up the mic.
What's the Cliff Notes version?
Jalen Johnson?
Cliff Notes version is everything.
Yes. Yes.
Very ambiguous.
It's a soft tissue injury, and that's all we'll say.
It's a lower body injury.
I'll be here. I'll be in studio performing my duties.
Is the patellar tendon intact?
It is
the patellar.
Intact.
Okay, that's good. ACL.
All the ligaments and tendons are
meniscus,
intact.
Meniscus, whole shebang, intact.
So Russ, I'm coming in here today. And Marshall is at the door. And I was like, because, you know, I've seen Marshall limp around
for
weeks.
It's pathetic.
And I'm like, Marshall, go. I got it.
I was trying to hold the door.
I appreciate that. Like, it's extremely polite and not necessary. And then I'm like, you don't have to do that. I get what's going on with your leg. Just go back in the studio because I know it's going to take you a while to get back in there. And he's like, no, man, everything's fine. Everything's
That's a
fine.
Good Marshall.
Everything's fine.
That's
with my
a
leg.
Good Marshall.
And then he literally falls into me.
The knee buckled.
See, that's what bothers me about Marshall.
Like, oh God. Like, don't fall apart.
For the last 3+ weeks is that he's not fine.
No. He's not.
But he keeps saying he's fine. And I'm like, Marshall, stop.
I don't like to be anybody's problem.
That's a problem. That's a problem. You need to express the things you need. You could be on fire, and you'd be telling, I'm fine.
Yes,
I'm okay.
Yes. I'd be like, I'm fine. Back away so I can roll. I got to be able to have room to stop, drop, and roll. That's fine.
Like walking miles on that knee knowing he shouldn't have.
Correct.
He'll do things like that. I'm like, Marshall, you're hard-headed.
I'm not hard-headed. I'm good.
Yeah, you're a little
hard-headed. You're not good.
There it is.
Just right a little bit.
I'm good.
I love that hoodie you got going
on. Thanks, man.
It's so fresh. Is that like you've kept it pristine? Unless it's new,
it is my favorite hoodie.
Okay, so you gotta pick
your spots.
To Montreal Expos.
Very sparingly. Yeah. It is the 1982 All-Star Game hoodie that I bought in Montreal.
Andre Dawson, Ellis Valentine playing for Tim Raines. All those play. I love those old Expos teams.
So I ran into Mai Martinez in the hallway, and she like, hey, and like she like hit me. She's like, this is like the nicest hoodie I've ever seen.
So nice.
I'm like, yeah it's well made.
Yeah. What is the Partey?
I believe it translates to star party.
Okay.
So
in French. Got it.
When are we going to get the Montreal Expos back? I feel like there's been this slow.
They're down the list. Let me just tell you.
Aren't they?
That.
But everybody loves wearing the old Montreal. And I
because
understand.
It's a cool logo. Yeah. But I just, of all the places when we talk about expansion, I think Nashville is much higher on the list. Okay. I think Salt Lake City is very high on the list.
Really?
Vegas already Portland. Is going to get their team. Portland is on. Like, if
I've got questions about Vegas.
Charlotte. If I had to find a place for Montreal, it would be very
low. Down the list.
Very low.
Yeah, we're talking about outside the top 10.
Like, Nashville has been very active with an ownership group and everything. I met one of the.
They've been active with this ownership group, too.
Yeah, well. That's a thing. That's a thing. But, like, I think Salt Lake City is real. Like, that's a real possibility. So, Montreal, that was my reaction.
How could it not
be? These are also not my decisions.
Compared to other cities where you would want to go see a baseball game.
Listen, I rock with Nashville
Salt
heavy.
Lake City is beautiful.
It is beautiful. But...
It doesn't move the needle for.
Are they
going
to have to open up
a
private club just so I can have a beer at the ball game? You know how things are in
Salt
Lake City.
After 9 p.m., you can't buy the old
that's after
Devil's Nectar.
What, seventh inning anyway, right?
Yes.
So.
Well, you have to get a, I've been there once, and this was probably 15 years ago. Like, and when I went, but probably longer than, more like 20 years ago, you had to like apply to drink.
Yeah, basically. You had to join a private club.
Yeah, which was very odd, but that's just the way they do things. As I think about it, though.
But NBA players will tell you.
Yeah?
It's the low-key, fun place to go.
Carl? You talking about Carl?
No, he shouldn't be allowed anywhere.
Let's not mention him in the fun.
Yeah.
Stock?
Him neither, actually.
Just walking around with a hammer, hitting people in the knees and stuff.
A Hall of Fame.
You know, the more time
duo.
Goes on with those dudes.
Yeah, the more you're like, ooh. Woof. Go Michael Jordan for defeating them and keeping them from championships.
But, like, if it's Nashville and Portland or Nashville and Salt Lake City, fine. Like, these things are likely going to happen anyway. But I feel like, and I wrote about this last week, there are pressing issues for baseball. That are way more important than
we
got to
get through the potential work stops first.
Which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And the expansion won't even happen for, let's call it 8 to 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's going to take you time to find the ownership group. The owners are going to have to vote on that. Then you have to find the plan to make that thing happen, get the stadiums built, whole shebang.
Who expands first? MLB, NBA? Because Adam Silver has been very forthright about what their plan is.
I think it's a lot easier for an NBA team to expand right now just because of the logistics of...
You can go someplace where, like, they already have
there's
a team.
There's an arena?
But
yes.
Wherever there's a hockey arena and turn it into a basketball arena. So if you wanted to... They wouldn't do this, but if you wanted to go to Columbus, for example, which is, I believe, the most populous city in Ohio... You could do it because there's already the Blue Jackets there, and that conversion is a pretty easy thing to do for the NBA and the NHL. But there are also places where people have been dying for them to go back to Seattle. Dying.
Seattle and Vegas, for me, are the top two. But with the baseball, you didn't mention Mexico City. Is that still a thing?
I don't think that's as realistic as the others.
I don't think so
either.
Okay,
no, that's why I asked the national guy.
Well, I want to ask you about the Vegas thing because I just don't believe it. I know that
they showed you the shiny shovels, Lawrence.
I know. And I know that there are games on the schedule in Vegas next year, supposedly.
Six, right?
Yeah. I don't believe it. Because of everything that's happening in Las Vegas itself, because of how all of this stuff has been happening, I am skeptical about it.
And the problem is, this Sacramento thing has not gone well.
It's gone poorly, awfully. And that's asking the local residents? That's asking the would-be supporters of the team?
Talk to people who part of that organization. It has just not gone the way. And I think people thought it would go bad. But I think now you have an issue where if I'm a starting pitcher and I've seen how the ball flies there, Groats, I am not signing with the Sacramento A's. Offensively, they can swing it. That was there's never been their issue. Nick Kurtz has been one of the best hitters, maybe the best hitter in baseball since the All-Star break, hitting almost 1,300 OPS. But if you got to win games 11 to 10 every night, you're not going to be successful.
We've seen how that worked before they started doctoring balls and stuff, humidifying things in Colorado. Also, I did not have it on my bingo card that Sacramento would have more problems than Tampa this year. And Tampa's kind of just they're playing baseball in smaller crowds, but it's fine.
Well, the good thing about Tampa is we don't have to worry about that playoff conundrum anymore with them, seemingly. That playing a playoff game in a minor league ballpark would not be fun for anyone. And the people on Twitch, they've got it right. Las Vegas is putting shovels in the ground. Groats.
Why aren't the Bears? That's the first thing that went through my brain when Russ said the golden shovels.
The golden shovels.
Where's our golden shovels? And I know Michael Scott from The Office said something else. Where's my golden something?
I think it's hilarious watching the Bears play the Bills and Greg Olsen asking Kevin Warren straight up, how about keeping this team here in the city? Because I know people want that. And Kevin Warren said, well, you know, the good thing about Arlington Heights and Chicago, they're both in Cook County.
All about Cook County up in here.
That made me laugh.
This
so
money,
hard.
Money.
That was the first time where it was like, oh man, Kevin Warren, who is very smooth, always has conviction in the way he speaks. He can convince you of things. He can make things sound good. That was the first time that I heard him hiccup on a broadcast, and it was unbelievable. So you got to work on your spin a little bit better than it's Cook County.
They're both in Cook County.
Arlington Heights ain't close to the city of Chicago in terms of the way it appears and is.
I just think it's great that Kevin Warren's a big Tony Preckwinkle fan.
Yeah, clearly.
You know, he wanted to show reverence to the Cook County Board President and talk about how great Cook County was.
So it's not Brandon Johnson anymore. That's not his buddy anymore. Man, he has moved his alliances.
If I'm that guy, I feel so burned by this.
Oh, my God.
If I'm him, and not that he had a mandate anyway, but after going out there and kind of like, oh, yeah, this calling Kevin Mr. President and all this other stuff, it's like, I did all of that. All that work, and what did it get me? Why did I do it?
I get the job done. I work. That's right.
That's right, Kumo D.
I was there. I was at that whole rollout, which looked great. I mean, again, Kevin Warren knows how to put on a production. But you're right. After all of that, with what he put Brandon Johnson through, with all of the speakers, with all of the promise, it is wild to think that none of that mattered. It's like what I was talking about with Justin Fields in 2022. All those spectacular, dazzling, Devin Hester-esque moments, and none of it mattered. None of it mattered in the end for Justin Fields or for the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, it is. The whole thing is just wild.
It mattered to the Justin Fields truthers. Let me just tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those.
Yeah.
I was one of those.
You think he's going to be good?
Wait, why did you stop?
Because then Justin wasn't on the team anymore.
Look, man, I want
and I kind of saw the way the train was going with Caleb, and he was just like, all right, I just want better for Justin.
I wouldn't have made the choice that he made. I feel like he made a mistake going to the Jets, but maybe it'll work out for him. I feel like he needed to be the next move that he made, even if it was lateral or backwards, needed to be, I'm going to go be with a great coach. No matter where that was.
Like, I'm going to go with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
That's right. That would have been a great fit for him. Year.
Yep. I'm going to go do that. Or I'm going to beg Sean McVay to make me the backup in Los Angeles. And I'll take $10 million and go do that. I hope it works out for him because he's a great kid. And you want to see him succeed. But if I were able to be on the advisory board, I've been like, you know, there are better choices for you.
You know, all of the, like, going back to Trubisky, to Fields, to now Caleb. The people that stick with the guy is because we all want these guys to be good so badly. I don't care if you are a reporter, whatever you do for a living, whether you're a fan, host, report, everybody wants. When Trubisky, I remember in 2017 when Trubisky came up and he had a great preseason game. He came in for whoever was starting it. I can't remember who started in the preseason game, but he comes in and he was terrific. And I remember you said, oh, this guy's going to be good. This guy's good. And then it goes downhill. Same thing with Justin Fields. Remember when he had his first preseason game, he got knocked out in that game too, which was a scary hit. But he was floating balls into the end zone. Everybody's doing the googly eyes on Twitter like, oh, yep, he is here. I don't think we can withstand another failure at quarterback with Caleb Williams. What?
You might have to.
What? Are you predicting something?
No, I'm just saying the way things go.
Like, I know what you're saying.
Nothing is guaranteed.
Yep.
Nope, I'm trying to appreciate what's happening in the moment. That's been my new thing, specifically with the Bears. And that's how I've gotten through the preseason and training camp, appreciating the positives I see while also acknowledging the not so positive that we also see. Because you can't ignore what your eyes are showing you. You can just have continued hope and faith in Ben Johnson as a schemer, a play caller, all of the things. I don't know what he's going to be as a head coach, but the offensive mind is there. It's proven.
Which is why you have been telling me and everybody else that the offense is going to be ahead of the defense. He thinks that the offense is going to be the best part of the Bears. Would you guys think offense, defense?
It's definitely going to happen.
I would hope that that's the case.
That's why you hired him.
If we aren't in a space where things are really moving forward, and I'm not one of these people that I'm not going to jump down anyone's throat on the first probably 6 to 8 weeks of the season, because I expect it to be bumpy.
Yeah.
And if I'm pleasantly surprised and things go smoothly, because they got a lot of fun skill players, I'm good with that. And I know, we already know, it's funny because Russ and I are going to spend some time talking about it on the show today. I hope that they're ready if things don't go right week one. I don't know how much it'll be us. I think that we'll actually be in town smart with this because we know. But
there's going to be some out-of-town stupid.
Mm-hmm. Just be ready for Matt Eberflus in week two.
If J.J. McCarthy plays better than Caleb Williams, I guarantee you that the Tuesday big headline around national sports talk is going to be, is Caleb Williams a bust?
Oh, yeah. It's the only game in town and out of town.
So, you get it, Marshall?
Yeah, I completely get it. And so what I was trying to tell him is like, hey, if Ben Johnson is this mastermind as an offensive coordinator, that's one thing. He better be good enough as a coach to find a way before the bye week to get a couple of wins.
Because
if you don't, 1-3, 0-4, that's tough to come back from. And you may get the development and everything else you want the rest of the way, but the season as far as overall is shot at that point.
And he did lose to the two of the quarterbacks that were behind him last year, Jane Daniels and Drake May as well. Am I missing somebody? So that you're right. That's an easy national narrative.
It messes up everything when you have a little bit of an outlier situation. You had it with C.J. Stroud 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you had it with Jaden Daniels last year where it's like guys that are not just – okay, guys that are making their team relevant, like Jaden Daniels brought Washington's franchise back to relevancy with the way that he played last year. And so you have that. And there are people that are already like, well, is he behind Bo Nix? Is he behind J.J. McCarthy? It's going to be rough if things don't go well right away. I hope that we can elevate the conversation to at least, and it's not excuses, it's reasons. Let people know there's a reason why all of this looks the way that it does. And it's because last year didn't matter really at all.
Yeah.
And it's surprising. Like that's when we were trying to figure it out. And Gross, I think Speaks and I talked with you a little bit about it during a Bears report. When we got to the place where Ben Johnson was asked by you guys about last year, and he was kind of like,
don't put that on me.
He was like, I guess he learned how to put on the uniform and stuff, and that's cool. But learned basically,
what getting hit feels like.
Right.
That's it.
The football stuff?
Nah.
Nothing.
Clean slate.
Nothing.
Clean slate.
And that's hard for a Bears fan to hear. Like, wait, we went through all of that? We went through everything last year, and it wasn't worth a damn?
The Caleb going through film by himself was so embarrassing. As watching what was supposed to be the number one overall pick in the draft developing into something, and he was doing the work by himself.
It's like, what?
It's damning.
It is damning. How will you guys elevate the afternoon show today? How will you guys be great, and what will you have on today's show?
It's a high bar.
I'm expecting big things today.
Well, we've elevated it by the fact that Russ is here today hanging out. It's been a fun week this week with Russ and Big Ant and Carmen. So it increases, it gets us back to an equilibrium because, you know, I'm considered the football guy, even though I played baseball.
I thought you were the baseball guy.
I know. And Speegs is the baseball guy, but he hasn't been here.
It's because you're on the beat. That's why.
Yeah, okay. That's why. And we've had two football people here. Carmen and Big Ant are football people. Russ is a baseball guy. And so
a
to have him here, I know.
In 2025.
Yeah, he's out here making real money doing it. We are going to elevate by having him have conversations with Craig Counsell, who's going to join us at 4 o'clock on the show.
I like that.
Fishy Business is going to be on with us for a change. That's at 3 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with Kevin Fishbane. Russ walked in here with a topic. He wanted to talk about the sports media landscape, and I am going to give him the floor, and we are going to talk about some of that stuff.
You want to talk about yourself?
No.
He's not. I'll talk about him, though, because I do think that he does the job in a really cool way, and I hope that there is still value for the way that Russ and others do the job.
It's looking grim out there.
That's what we're going to talk about. But when we come back, we are going to discuss Caleb Williams and how hard he's being coached by Ben Johnson and what that means and how some of the stuff nationally is already percolating in weird and in places that I did not expect. We'll do all of that after Tanny's Open next here on The Score.
Great show.